Welcome to our fourth sermon in our sermon series entitled, I Am. Today's sermon title, The Light. Open your Bible to John 8, verses 12 through 20. And let's begin.
O Lord, you are the light of the world. Your life is the light of humanity. I pray that we can understand the light of Christ today. I pray that we can then walk in the light as you are in the light, and our lives can have the proper association together. Please rescue us from our flawed love of darkness so that we can work with Christ as the light of the world. Thank you for the generosity of this church that fed 740 families this Thanksgiving. And please bless those who shared so kindly with people in need. In Christ's name, amen. We are studying what Jesus Christ said about himself. And one of the things that he said about himself is, I am the light of the world. Light is something that is very easy to take for granted. But every breath of fresh air you take is only possible because of light. Light hits green plants and triggers photosynthesis. Part of photosynthesis is the absorbing of carbon into the tree and the release of oxygen. Because of sunshine, you breathe fresh air. Without sunshine, we all get sick and die. It's also interesting that we understand the history and the future of the universe we live in by looking at light. Astronomers tell us that the farthest light we can see is about 13.5 billion light years away from us. So when you look at that light, you're looking 13.5 billion years back into history. It takes that light that long to get to us. When you look at the universe, some very smart people figured out that light is affected by which way it's going. So if light is coming toward us, believe it or not, it gets compressed a little bit. And it's called redshifted. If it's going away from us, it spreads out a little bit, and it's called blue-shifted. So we can look at all the light in the universe, and we can tell whether it's going away from us or coming toward us. It's fascinating, isn't it? I have a picture in an astronomy book of two galaxies colliding. The history of the solar system, the history of the world we live in. There are these very strange lights out there that pulsate. They're called pulsars. There are photographs from space where we see the remnants of a giant star that exploded. When you look at light, it tells you the history of the universe we live in. In fact, the light you see from the sun right now left the sun 8 minutes ago. So all the light we get is historical light. It takes 8 minutes of history to get here. But light doesn't just tell us the story of the past, it tells us the story of our future. There are giant nebula in space. They're just thousands of light years of gas and dust. And in these nebula, new stars and new planetary systems are born. We can see the future of the universe in these nebula. Remember I told you red and blue shifted? Well, it turns out most of the matter in the universe is going away from us. And it's going away from us very fast. And those who understand all of this say, as the universe races apart, things will get farther and farther apart. And the farther apart they get, the less gravity they have on each other. And the less gravity they have on each other, little by little, everything starts flying apart because there isn't enough gravity to hold it. And one astrophysicist said it can get so bad that even the atomic structure that creates our cells will lose its capacity to cling together because the gravity will be so weak. That's one future we could have. But there's the snapback future. That's at some point you stretch the rubber band as far as it can go and it snaps back. And this universe that's been expanding and expanding reaches its limits and it comes snapping back. I'm not really sure how this future all goes. I'm just glad I won't be there when it all happens. Somebody else has to worry about it then. So light is an absolutely fascinating thing that not only tells us our past, and tells, but it tells us our future. Light allows us to breathe. And ironically, light has been very important in religion. If you're a Bible reader, you know that worship started outside. When Abraham built altars, they weren't in temples. They were outside. They were under the light. But then we got sophisticated and we had to drag God inside. And ironically, in Solomon's temple, there are no windows. We drug God out of the universe and put him in a house with no windows. Greek temples had no windows. There were very few windows in Roman temples. It really wasn't until the Middle Ages, I don't like to call them the Dark Ages, the Middle Ages, that people said church shouldn't be a dungeon. And these incredible men and women in Europe figured out how to architecturally restructure a wall so the wall would be strong enough to hold a whole panel of stained glass windows. And the epic of cathedrals was born. Massive walls with huge stained glass windows that allowed the light to flood into the church and for people to once again feel the majesty of God in light. When we built this building, we studied classical architecture. And classical architecture is all about the effect that light has on people. That's why there are all the windows in here. That's why there's all the glass in the new building. Because there is an innate connection between religion and light. Jesus once said, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Bars should be dark. Good. Keep it dark in there. If you're flirting with somebody else's wife, you shouldn't be seen. But churches shouldn't be dark. I know it's a modern trend to turn churches into movie theaters with no windows and everything dark, but it is against what Christianity is held up as. There's something about light that is innate to people of faith. Church. So when Jesus said, "I am the light of the world," it's a whole lot deeper than just a throwaway line that if we're not careful, we go, "Yeah, I get it. I've heard that before." When Jesus said, "I am the light of the world," he implied that as visible light is only a fraction of all light, so what we see in Christ is only a fraction of who he is. Visible light is here in the middle. At one end is ultraviolet. At the other end is infrared. What we see, the light we see, is only a small fraction of the light that is. And when we see Christ as fully as he can be seen, when we see him in all his majesty and wonder, we're still only seeing a fraction of this infinite second person of the Trinity who is awesome in every way, and most of them are so awesome we can't even comprehend it. Isn't it true that things look different in the light than in darkness? In some ways, I'm a full-grown man. But there are still dark places that make me uncomfortable. Have you ever parked your car somewhere, and it turns out it's a little darker than what you thought it was? And when you're walking to your car, you feel that twinge of uncomfortableness? Anybody? Or is that... It's just a little darker than you thought it was there. And when you're walking toward your car, you have this twinge of discomfort. You would never feel that in broad daylight because things look different in the dark than in the light. My backyard looks different in the dark than in the light. And that's why I have a big light on the back of my house that I can turn on to see what's happening in my backyard and patio. Because things look different in the dark than they do in the light. You see, sometimes in our darkness, we can't see Christ. But he is in the light and he can always see us. Can you use your imagination this morning? There are bands of light that I can't see. Other animals can see them, but I can't see them. They're able to see things that we can't see because they see bands of light we can't see. In your imagination, can you really believe that there is a living Lord Jesus Christ, and although you can't see him here this morning, he's here and he sees you clearly and plainly? Church, we can't see him this morning, but that doesn't mean that he isn't here and he doesn't see us plainly, openly, clearly, without obstruction. Is it possible that Christ sees you this morning in a very different way than you see him because he is in the light and you aren't? Is that possible? See, I want to argue to you that if you can see Christ clearly, you think about him in a radically different way. We don't think about Christ properly because we don't see him properly. Tragically, it's easier to see the shadow Christ than the shining Christ. The shadow Christ are all the things you've ever heard about Christ, and some of them are true and some of them aren't. The things that people have said to me that they thought were in the Bible about Christ are ridiculous. They've been reading Aesop's fables, not the Gospels. And they imposed a shadow. And it was easier for them to see the shadow Christ than it was the shining Christ. The shining Christ is this authentic person that we get to see in the Gospels. The shining Christ is the Christ who will whisper to your soul this morning if you'll just give him a chance. The shining Christ is the light of God that gives you a tan and healthy soul. The shadow Christ leaves you pale and anemic in your soul. Church. Because it turns out light isn't just important for religion, light's important for health. You can't be healthy and be in a dungeon all the time. Light makes you healthier. It's why I hate February in Ohio. It's so hard to get a couple of sunny days. We live under the gloom of the cloudy sky. I want to go someplace the sun is shining. Then Christ said to us in John's gospel, "The one following me will not walk in darkness, but he will have the light of life." Anybody here like flashlights? I mean, we can admit it. I like flashlights. I've liked them from when I was a kid. I like flashlights. A buddy of mine gave me a flashlight. I like it so much I carry it around in my briefcase. I know it's ridiculous, but I like them. I can remember being a boy, having this cheap, everlasting flashlight made of plastic. That thing was like my favorite object in the world. Have you ever laid down on the ground and taken a flashlight on a summer night and just let it shine up into space? Some of you have, come on. It's pretty cool, isn't it? You know what? I've heard of hundreds and hundreds of different kinds of flashlights. I've never once heard of flash darkness. Nobody ever bought a flash darkness. We buy flashlights. Why is that? Why is it that we've figured out how to make flashlights that you can freeze in a block? You can boil in water. You can run over it with a semi truck. Yeah, I'm a sucker for that. That commercial. Never ordered one, but it wasn't because I wasn't lusting in my heart for one. I'll tell you why there's no such thing as flash darkness, and there is such a thing as flashlights. Because Christ said, "The one following me will not walk in darkness." He's saying to us, without Christ, darkness is the normal condition. You need a flashlight. With Christ, light is the normal condition, and we walk in the light and don't stumble. Can you hear this, church? Christ is saying to us, the normal condition without him is darkness. Without Christ, without the light of Christ, we stumble blindly through life not knowing. With the light of Christ, we live with purpose and we move toward our destiny in God. With the light of Christ, we become the light of the world also. Christ didn't just say he was the light of the world. He said we joined him and we became the light of the world with him. When Christ has his proper influence on our soul, something happens to us that makes us an enlightening influence to the world around us. Without that influence of Christ, we remain part of this tragic stumbling through the darkness of life. Have you ever heard of outdriving your lights? You drive faster than your lights can see ahead. Has anybody ever heard of that? You can outdrive your lights. On a very dark night, you can drive faster than you can see ahead of you, and it's a dangerous thing. Light is also interesting because it's the speed limit of the universe. So far as people know, nothing in the universe goes faster than light, 186,000 miles per second. I can't understand that, can you? You know what? Christ is the speed limit of life, too. There have been times I thought Christ was putzing, and I tried to run ahead of him. There have been times I said to Christ, you got to keep up. Guess who was deceived? Guess who was running ahead of the light? Ask me how that turned out for me. It never turns out well. You see, Christ said, I've got this right. I am the light. And if you can associate your life with my life, you're going to live in a way that you can't live without me. If you can associate your thinking with my thinking, your will with my will, your desires with my desires, if you can associate with me, you're following in the light, and when you follow in the light, good stuff happens. Verse 14. Jesus answered and said to them, I give testimony to myself, and my testimony is true, because I know where I came from and where I'm going. You do not know where I came from or where I go. You know what Christ is saying? The light is the proof of itself. You don't have to prove light, it proves itself. Right now, this room is bombarded with photons, billions and billions of photons. I don't have to say it's light in here. If you come here tonight and there are no lights on, this room will look very, very different. There'll be no photons in it, and it won't be hard for light to prove itself or disprove itself. It's there or it isn't. I don't need to give you a mathematical formula to prove that this room is light. In the very same way, church, Christ is the proof of himself. No one can stand up to you and prove to you Christ. Your heart is the only test for the authenticity of Christ. And you have a heart that is open to him, and he proves himself to you, or you have a heart that is closed to him, and no amount of light shining on you can break through the closet of your soul because you simply refuse to let the light shine on you. Church. Christ makes God visible to us. When Christ said, I am the light of the world, what did he mean? He means There is something about God that makes it impossible for you to see him. But I am the one who makes God visible to you. The reality of God is visible in Christ. What is God like? He's like Christ. The love of God is visible in Christ. Greater love has no one than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. In the light of Christ, I see God loves me so much that he sacrifices himself for me. The grace of God is visible in Christ. In Christ, I understand that God is totally committed to treating me better than what I deserve. The truth of God is visible in Christ. The forgiveness of God is visible in Christ. And the majesty of God is visible in Christ. Why is Christ the light? Because without him, I'm not able to understand what the transcendent God is like. Would you be shocked to know that the apostle said that God Almighty dwells in unapproachable light? There's something so bright about who he is that we can't even approach him. But Christ brings God to us. There's one more verse I want us to look at. Don't daydream yet. Stay with me. Verse 20. Jesus taught all these things in the treasury of the temple, and no one seized him because the hour had not yet come. What if I were to say to you, Christ's hour has come, and it's time for you to seize him? Not in the way the Pharisees wanted you to, but in the way he wants you to. What if I were to say, your hour has come? This is your hour. This is a moment, this is a time where each of us say, there's something about the light of Christ that I want to take hold of. Or we say, I'm pretty comfortable here in my darkness. I'm pretty comfortable in the hiddenness. I'm pretty comfortable in the separateness. In fact, I'm afraid if Christ really shined on me, it would expose things about me that I don't want exposed. Church? See, here's the thing about light. I get to figure out how to use it, or it just passes me by. You understand that? With a telescope, I figure out how to use light. Without the telescope, all these mysteries of the universe just shine right past me and have no effect on me. With a photosynthetic cell, I capture the light and turn it into electricity. But if I never learn to capture the light, it passes me by. And it just becomes ubiquitous. I'm telling you, if you don't seize Christ, if you don't take moments where you lay hold of him and you grip him for yourself, you open your heart to him, you let him shine into you, you let him have a healthy effect on your soul, you let him tan your soul, he'll pass you by. And it'll just be a wonderful Christmas and Easter story. Can you hear me, church? How do you seize Christ? How do you lay hold of him for yourself? Do this with me. You're willing to admit to yourself that things could be better than they are right now. And they would be better if Christ had more influence with you. Church, that's the first step. The first step is, I'm tired of living in the darkness. Things could be better than this. I'm tired of the effect that the darkness is having on me. Things could be better than this. I'm tired of the hiddenness. I'm tired of the fear. I'm tired of the strangeness. I'm tired of the indifference. It could be better than this. And if I would just open my heart and let something of the life of Christ shine upon me, it would be better. That's the first step. The second step. You have to risk love. And life has taught you that love is a risky business, hasn't it? Some of you are afraid to let Christ love you. You're afraid he's going to use his love to manipulate you. If I get too close to Christ, if I let him love me, he's going to want me to do this or that or this or that. Church? I've told you that when I was a young man, I was distrustful of Christ. I was sure that if I trusted him too much, he would make me be a missionary in some god-awful place where the snakes were bigger than dinosaurs and the cockroaches ate you when the lights went off. I was sure of it. Somehow or another, growing up in church gave me a basic mistrust. You got to be careful to let Christ love you, because if you do, he's going to make you do something you don't want to do. Church, that's darkness. Christ's love is not manipulative. He doesn't love you to get you to do something miserable. That is a lie. He loves you because he's loving. And you got to risk it. You have to risk opening your heart to the love of Christ. You got to be willing to receive grace. You got to be willing to let Christ treat you better than what you deserve. You get it, church? Some of you have to let down your guard and say, Christ, I'm opening to your light in a new way. I'm willing to let you treat me better than what I deserve. Seize the light. You have to be open to the truth of God in your life. Remember, Jesus said this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Do you get it? There is truth that you cannot know apart from Jesus Christ. There is truth that you can't learn without a telescope. You got to be able to look at space. There is truth that you cannot know without Christ. You have to be able to see the heart of God in the face of Christ. Church? Some of you need to open your heart to the light of Christ's forgiveness. You got issues. You can't forgive yourself, and you find it hard to believe that Christ can forgive you. You need to open your heart to the light of forgiveness. Why wouldn't you give him a chance? Why wouldn't you just see what the light of his forgiveness might do for you? The darkness of discouragement and shame and regret. How long do you intend to live in that ugliness? There is the light of the forgiveness of Christ. If you simply open your heart to him, he'll shine on your soul, and that which has been ugly and infected and broken and diseased, the light of Christ will heal, and you can feel forgiven. Church. Some of you know Christ. I want to speak to you who know Christ well. You never know him as well as he can be known. And maybe it's time for some of you to move on. To move on from the elementary things and start letting the majesty of Christ affect you. There is a very utilitarian side of Christ. He's loving, he's forgiving, he fixes stuff, he makes us better, and all of that is beautiful. But there's something much more beautiful about Christ than his mere utilitarian side. There's something more wonderful about Christ than these little things that he can do. There is a majesty, there is a dignity, there is a brilliance and a light about Christ that is amazing. It is refreshing. It's renewing. And it makes everything feel different when you open your heart to the majesty of Christ. You have a sense of being lifted. You have a sense of how wonderful it is to be known by Christ. You have a longing to be with him and not stuck in this broken and dark world forever. I don't want to live here forever. There's something so wonderful and majestic about Christ that I feel little bits of my heart saying, soon and very soon, I will go and see the King. And I feel no regret about it. There is a majesty in Christ that is calling. We find a longing in our heart. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And we feel a longing in our heart for the light and the joy and the beauty of that place. We long for the light of heaven, the way you snowbirds long for the light of the south when winter is upon us. Church. But that happens when we open our heart to the majesty of Christ and we just let this thing that is so majestic about who he is shine on us, and we're overwhelmed with awe and we find a greater and greater longing to be with Christ. Church, the Lord who loves you said, I am the light of the world. The one who follows me doesn't have to walk around in darkness. And I ask you to look for Christ today in a more intense way than you've ever done. Oh, Lord Jesus Christ, how majestic you are. How majestic you are. Oh, Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. I pray for each soul that's here this morning. I pray that the light of Christ would shine on us in a way we've never experienced before. Father, I pray for those who need to come to faith in Christ this morning. This needs to be the hour that they seize Christ. Holy Spirit, save your elect, I pray. Shine on their hearts in irresistible ways. I pray for those who have wandered away from the light. They didn't do it on purpose. They just strayed and got comfortable living in a shadow world. I pray the light of Christ would beckon them home today. I pray for those who know what it means to walk in the light as you are in the light. And I pray that your majesty would shine on their souls and they would find in themselves a fresh, a new, a simple longing for Christ. And I pray all of this would be pleasing to your eternal purpose. Amen.
keep trying to find a light on my own apart from you. I am a king of excuses. I've got one for every selfish thing I do. So tell me what's going on inside of me. I despise my own behavior. This only serves to confirm my suspicions. I'm still a man in need of a savior. Wanna be in the light as you are in the light. Wanna shine like the stars in the heaven. Oh Lord, be my guide, be my salvation. It's all I want to see in the light. The disease of self runs through my blood. It's a cancer fatal to my soul. Every attempt on my behalf.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information about Christ Church, check us out on the web at christchurchohio.org. If we can be of any help to you, call us at 440-236-8282. Until next time, blessings to you.